Home. June 30th, 1945. Swing music blasted so loud from the kitchen radio inside that Honey Davis could hear it quite clearly as she marched up the front steps of her daughter Lily's house, reminding herself to go easy on Lily, who was, after all, barely 20 years old. Honey walked across the porch and knocked loudly on the door several times. There was no response, and there most likely wasn't going to be a response, because the music was so loud that nothing else could be heard. Honey felt that familiar frustration rising inside her. Clenching her jaw and straightening her blouse, Honey opened the door and let herself in. She nearly tripped over the unpacked boxes of newly acquired housewares still in the foyer. Lily should be much further along, thought Honey. Lily's husband would be returning in 4 days, and the place was simply a mess. When Paul Woodward left for the war in 1942, just a short time after marrying Lily and purchasing the house for them, Lily had moved back into her parents' home, a few miles away at Holly Hills. Aside from the matter that the house was simply too big for a teenager, albeit a married one, to live in alone, maintaining a property this size for one person, regardless of age, was downright frivolous during wartime. However, even though she didn't live there, Lily had spent much of the last few years putting the home together. Initially, Honey tried to help, but that didn't go over so well. Lily wanted to do things her way, and she certainly put great effort into collecting wonderful items and furnishings while Paul was away. Lily acquired things that were fun, ornamental, as opposed to utilitarian. The living room was stunning. The kitchen was bare, until very recently. There was a sudden rush to get it set up when Paul's return was announced. Honey couldn't help but be annoyed by Lily's efforts over these years, feeling her decorating and furnishing was more hobby than household building, more girlish amusement than womanly pursuit. The fact was, although she was married and had accepted the full responsibility of adulthood, at 20, Lily was still very much a child at heart. Honey navigated around the boxes of practical household items and made her way into the kitchen, where she found Lily bopping to the loud swing music. Hands out, locked with those of an imaginary partner, Lily danced quickly and joyfully around mounds of pots and pans. Honey watched her for a moment. While most of the world saw a beautiful young woman who was fair, fit, and well-proportioned, the graceful and poised daughter of an important Coca-Cola executive, this private Lily was precisely the Lily, unrestrained, sweating, who worried Honey so. Honey had hoped that marriage would provide the sort of structure that would channel whatever drove her daughter to dance like this into something quietly satisfied, rendering Lily wholly and entirely a lady of Toccoa, Georgia. But of course, there hadn't been much of a marriage. Fortunately, though, like the world around them, everything was about to change. Honey pulled the radio plug out of the wall socket. Startled by the sudden silence, Lily looked up to find her mother in her kitchen.
"You really shouldn't sneak up on me like that," said Lily, exasperation superseding embarrassment.
"And you really should be getting your home ready. Do you want your husband to come back to something that looks worse than the rubble in Berlin?"
Just rolling her eyes, Lily returned to her task of unpacking. She pulled a beautiful chrome and ivory framed picture of her husband in his officer's uniform out of a box, unwrapped it, and placed it on a nearby counter. As she leaned over and started pulling china from another box, Honey picked up the picture and moved it carefully to a more prominent location in the room. Lily watched as Honey gazed at the picture for a moment satisfied, and then bent over and took a cup and a saucer from a box, gingerly removed the packing paper, and began to put the items away. Though the act was more imposition than help, Lily tolerated it. This was a familiar dynamic, and though it was ultimately annoying to Lily, there was comfort in the familiarity.
"They go in there, Mother," said Lily, pointing to an open waist-high drawer. "Cups and saucers in a drawer? Lily, what are you thinking? Drawers at this level offer flatware. Cups and saucers go in the upper cabinet or cupboard, hence the name cupboard."
"Well, in my home, Paul and I will do things our way, even if we break a few rules."
"What you'll break is all your fine coffee cups. Every time you carelessly open that drawer and they bang into each other."
"Mother!"
Honey could hear her husband's voice telling her to relax and let her daughter live her own life a bit. Staid and vigilantly professional he was. In fact, much more like Lily than anyone really knew, except perhaps Honey.
"Suit yourself," Honey said. "Your house. Do things your way. My mouth is shut."
"Thank you."
Honey put the cup and saucer on the counter, refusing to participate in what she deemed certain madness, something she was confident her daughter would soon come to see, the hard way. Lily picked up the items and put them away in the drawer, pleased.
"Fine," said Honey, unable to stay silent. "And why not just put your pots and pans on top of the refrigerator, or your fine linens under the sofa, or your..."
"Mother,
my mouth is shut."
"Thank you."
"Lily,"
Honey exclaimed, glaring at a box of salt that had spilled onto the floor. So much for keeping her mouth shut. Honey hurried over, tore a page from a Good Housekeeping magazine, and swept up the salt onto the cover. She poured it in a small glass.
"You can boil it off when you unpack your pots," said Honey.
"Yes, ma'am," said Lily, primarily to appease and silence her mother.
After the war between the states, when the only way to get salt was to boil the dirt from the floors of the ravaged smokehouses, pour off the water, and use the residue in the bottom of the pot, wasting salt was a sin in Georgia. Honey opened the refrigerator, took out two Cokes, and opened them with a nearby bottle opener. Lily grabbed one, Honey the other. Unconsciously repeating one of their long-standing rituals, they both took swigs, swallowed, and took deep, calming breaths. Even with sugar rationing making Coke hard to come by throughout most of the country, Davis households always had some cold ones on hand. Looking at Honey, Lily thought, you'd never have known that the entire world had been at war. It was as though time stood still for Honey Davis. She never went without nylons, and her figure showed no signs of the flour and sugar shortages that most in Toccoa endured. Most in town attributed such things to the benefits of wealth and influence, but Lily knew it was more. In her own ways, Honey worked hard for what she got. It was just that she made getting what she wanted look effortless. But Lily knew better. Lily saw that under her mother's air of entitlement was a profound resourcefulness, a will that you did not want to cross. This was a woman whose hair, despite season or time of day or weather, was always audaciously perfect. Honey had been wearing a smart pageboy bob with the ends rolled under for as long as Lily could remember. During the later years of the war, even Garbo and Hepburn began to eschew the bob style they had helped make fashionable, but not Honey Davis. Her tresses were always impeccably parted and curled, set and sturdy, even in the middle of summer. And Lily knew that someone who possessed what it took to maintain her hair so well in Georgia in June was not someone to be taken lightly. Lily and Honey looked up as an oversized wasp flew into the kitchen. Honey recoiled.
Those damn yellow jackets, they are so aggressive.
Honey quickly grabbed a newspaper, rolled it up, and began swatting. This enraged the predatory wasp, which buzzed angrily around the kitchen, scaring Honey, who swatted wildly at it. The big yellow jacket landed on the counter, buzzing tentatively. Honey approached nervously, pulled back the newspaper, and just as she was about to swat at it, in a flash, Lily brought a mason jar down over the wasp, trapping it.
Lily!
Now, what did that yellow jacket ever do to you?
Well, I don't know if you are brave or just plumb stupid. Sometimes both, I suspect.
Lily ripped off a piece of cardboard from one of the boxes, slid it under the mason jar, and carried the jar to the kitchen door. She pushed open the screen door, released the wasp, and came back inside. Honey just watched, both amazed and annoyed. Lily was constantly doing these sorts of impulsive things that upset Honey, who was certain that Lily often behaved this way specifically for that purpose. But Honey had to confess. She admired her daughter's fearlessness as well as her tenacity. Lily was an original.